Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak. And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday night. It's June the 11th of the year, our Lord, 2022. And this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Mississippi. And with me tonight, Brother Paul from Rochester.
Yes.
And hello, brother. How are you?
Doing great. God is good. I'm loving it up here. I mean, this is such good weather today. I'm just impressed. I'm not. Oh. I had to mute myself because I'm hearing tooth. Sorry, I had to mute myself. Sorry about that. Oh, the joy of trying to do two different things. Yeah. All right. It's been wonderful weather here. And if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, please come to the YouTube. I put the link in the description. So please come here to listen. You can hear our voices well here, and we'll try to upload things later. This is just it's an important show. Please pay attention and share. It's something that needs to be done.
And we apologize that Sister Christy won't want to be with us tonight. She's still under the weather, and she has some issues. Physical sickness a little bit. She's down from losing her friend, Robert Finn, who I did his full service with his coach, good Christian brother as well, who shared the COVID with me as we celebrated the life of Brother Ben. Keep his wife Roxanne in your prayer as the Lord will continue to take care of her and his son as well, Brother Ben. I know you have something you want to share with us, Brother Paul, before we get into our study, as maybe some of you are watching for the first time. Normally, the first half hour or so, we talk about current events of things happening in America and around the world, and Brother Paul and Sister Christy always come up with this great articles, and we just share a little bit, and then when we finish all these things, we move on to our study as we continue tonight with part number two of the miraculous mistakes of Muhammad.
So I did find the video I wanted to share, and it's on a particular site, but it's a news video about a shooting. It could have been a school shooting, and it was stopped by the school resource officer. Now, the SRO, they're going to use that term, SROs. And a lot of schools, they have a police officer assigned to the school or an off-duty police officer, and they're caring. And this man, he saved those children just by doing his job. So I'm going to play the video. That's a really good question, because what I found, they took it down off once. I think they had to change whatever it is. It's off one site and it's back. And I found it on the site that I found it originally. So here we go. Let me know if the sound is strong enough.
Several years ago, what think is going to happen in your school, and we're very blessed that the same situation did occur here.
Gadsden's Walnut Park Elementary School, the scene of a fatal officer-involved shooting this morning. It happened outside the school while children enrolled in school programs were inside. Now, officers say the man killed had attempted to get entrance to the school.
He remained inside. He was shot by a Rainbow City police officer outside the school. The school, by the way, as you see here, is across the street from the neighborhood in the western part of Gadsden. ABC 3340's Aaron Wise is on the scene. Aaron, the children were there for summer programs. Did they know what was going on?
They the Gadsden City School Superintendent tells me that the 34 children who were inside this building earlier today had no idea what was unfolding out in front of the building. Dr. Tony Reddick, the children thought they were actually practicing the safety drills that they had learned throughout the week. Now, here's what we know about this incident. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency is investigating the officer-involved shooting. Aaliyah says a man was trying to get to the school resource officer's patrol vehicle. When the officer attempted to stop, the suspect went for the officer's gun. The SRO is a city police officer called for backup. Gadsden police responded. Ultimately, the suspect was shot and killed. The Gadsden City School Superintendent confirmed the suspect did try to get into that building.
That, as best I know, there was a potential intruder. Apparently, there was a gentleman who was coming around several doors trying to get inside the building. Our principal was alerted immediately. She went around to make sure that all those buildings were secure, which they already were.
Etowah County Sheriff Jonathan Corey says a person driving through the area also noticed the person and called police.
There's something not right. And so when the call came in and they notified the school resource officer, he then came out of the school, engaged the subject in conversation, and apparently had a conversation with him for a few moments and tried to de-escalate the individual. And then he called for backup. And then when backup arrived, it continued until what we have here now.
Now, as for that suspect, he's been identified as Robert Tyler White. White is from North Carolina. At this time, it's not clear whether White had a weapon on him of some sort. Now, first at 5, you'll hear from the neighbor who lives right across the street from this school about what he saw today. Live in Gadsden, Aaron Wise, ABC 3340 News.
Well, it is maybe the right way to do it is not to take my gun, is to take out the bad dude, the criminal, with another gun. Now, I don't think this will be too much on the news by the way. This will be on the news on CNN, CBS, MSNBC, and every news in the world. If until now, the guys inside start shooting our children, even for 4 or 5 hours later, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There was a high action taking, and somebody eliminated a problem by taking the person out. Then, guess what? No one will be used. But if you have 10, 15, 20 people killed in the school, one, the three,
and you know the thing is, this is one of the things I've observed with police officers, and I like the terminology they use about de-escalation because I see them constantly doing this, and it's not like they didn't try to stop things from getting where the, as bad as they were. The gentleman tried to grab for the police officer's gun, and that's where things went bad on him. You know, we don't hear the black on white thing here or the white on black thing. Nobody knows if this guy is white. It doesn't matter. The guy was there and he was violent. And again, he was...
My personal opinion, my humble personal opinion, from my experience of how the wacko liberal in this country always like to twist everything.
Yeah.
That guy went to the school and he shot some students, he needs to take my gun away. But if a cop stopped that wicked, evil person from committing the crime, it is the fault of the cop. Let him define the policeman that put the cop behind the bar, because that's exactly how the liberal wants. They will not see anything unless they twist it. They make it for the good of the social and the communist agenda.
Yeah, Gadsden pointed out something. He didn't see it and then make the national news. And I do, I have special alerts come to me for certain things. It wasn't on this. But I do a search for the word like attack. And that came up. That's how I originally found this article. If I wasn't searching for it, but then I subscribed to about, I subscribed to about 30 different news services. So, yeah. I just closed that out. Let's see. That was this past week. Yeah. Yeah, it was this past week.
I thought this happened like 3 hours ago.
No, it was this past week. I think it was on the 10th, or which would have been Friday, yeah. I'll double-check that. Let me just check my history. I'll pull up the article, and I'll put the link in the chat room then. Okay, here we go. The article, yeah, it was June 9th. It was Thursday. Pretty sure it was Thursday. Yep.
I'm sorry. If you're going to play a game of going to school to try to do the same thing through the idea to shoot some students or shoot some little children, then maybe it's time for you to go before you even get close to the door, the entrance of the school. And I hope that this will be the case from now on. Good morning and good afternoon, good evening to everyone who joined us right now. We're glad to have you with us, and please invite others as we continue to talk for the next few minutes to cover some of the local current events. And Lord willing, we'll start our show for our son a little bit later as we continue to talk. What else we have in your bag?
So the next one, I'm going to throw this one in, this link in as well. I subscribe to a large number of news services, but I have been watching a few articles that just catch my attention. This one comes from Robert Spencer, and this is something I think that should be hitting every national news. Everybody should be covering this. And again, it's from June 9th, but this topic, here we go. This is from PJ Media. ISIS plotter in hipster Brooklyn proves yet again that immigration is a national security issue. Now, I'm
sure because Biden and Obama were vetting every Muslim coming to America, and they know that all the Muslims come to America are wonderful, loving, peaceful Muslims. Are you agreeing with that?
Well, we have Biden who decided to let over 100,000 Muslims come here without any vetting.
Even if the Taliban was inside, these are good Muslims who help our soldiers. Somehow, they allow our soldiers to maybe some of them from smell for our soldiers. Think about that.
Well, if that was actually true, I don't, you know, if they were, my biggest issue is, do they love Sharia? And we can't ever find out because they're obligated to lie to us, according to Sharia.
They did not know that the little girls who came with them actually their wives.
Yes.
Because their daughter, the wife of my, is a man that's 40, and he has this little 8-9 years old with them, and where's his wife? Oh, it was his wife. That 8-9 years old was his wife. And instead of providing the reality, they make a mistake. No, you look the other side.
They've actually documented this, and that's the thing. I mean, while people might be laughing, saying that's not true. It is true. It's been documented. All right, so let's get into this article. It's just crazy. Dilk Hayat Kazimov lived in Brooklyn, one of the nation's leading hotspots for trendy young hipsters, but he had much more in his mind than checking out the street art scene in Bushwick or in the Fort Greene flea market. Kazimov, who was 34, was sentenced Friday to 15 years in prison. This is my problem with the concept of charging someone with terrorism. I say charge him with treason because they're going against this country for aiding the Islamic State. Now, if the ISIS is a terror group who wants to kill us, and then we have an obligation to charge the guy with treason. They didn't. They charged him with terrorism. He was involved in plots to strike within the United States, including possibly even killing Barack Obama. Ilkhat Kasimov is a citizen of Uzbekistan, so his case once again raises the question that Biden's handlers steadfastly ignore. Why is the U.S. bringing jihadis into the country? According to the U.S. Attorney Richard Donahue, Kasimov was part of a conspiracy in which he willingly and eagerly sought to help fund a foreign fighter's travel and expenses in Syria to wage violent jihad. When he was sentenced Friday, Matthew Olson, the Assistant Attorney General for National Security, said, Kasimov is an ISIS supporter who collected and gave money to another individual to fund his travel to join the terrorist group.
And you know what 15 years in prison means, brother
Paul? That he'll be out in 7 to 8 years. Yeah, that's so it's supposed to be cut in half. The good
but there'll be less because of good behavior, which means he's gonna be reading the Quran, he's gonna be praying 5 times a day, he's gonna be fasting Ramadan, and his good behavior will be rewarded by letting go earlier.
Yes. This is that's why I say 7 to 8. Patrick Dunleavy, who was a big guy here in New York State. He wrote The Fertile Soil of Jihad, and he's talking about the penal system. And he keeps commenting on how stupid we are for...
Did that guy listen to any of my teachings? Because I thought the word stupid belonged to
someone. Well, he doesn't come out and say stupid, but he doesn't come out and say stupid, but he's very polite. How foolish... I mean, We're putting people in jail for their ideology, and what do? He calls it they practice prison behavior. And if you do good on prison behavior, you get out, and your ideology hasn't changed; it's been reinforced.
As a matter of fact, no. When you put a Muslim in prison for stopping him from performing jihad for the sake of Allah, he's twice as mad. He's twice as angry. And at the time of the prison, when he reads the word of Allah in the Quran, he knows for sure what he must do when he comes out of the prison. He must perform twice as much jihad, because that is a perfect time and a perfect place and a perfect situation for a Muslim who went to prison in America for not performing his jihad to know for sure that he must perform jihad, because now he knows it was not just the ideology given to him by some Muslim mawla, a Muslim sheikh, a Muslim imam. Now he got the time to study the Quran to find for sure that he must perform jihad. And what he believes now is founded in his heart and soul, and it's time for him to do that. And who knows, maybe why they bring him to some other Muslim, while he has the Muslim prayer inside the chaplain with a good Muslim imam from Saudi Arabia, and this will become even great alliance with other Muslims. When they come out together, they perform jihad together. So instead of one or two by themselves, maybe get 10 or 20 together. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, and this is, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And he, you know, that it's, they work together even, and they coordinate while they learn, get that organization thing going while they're in there. This next article is from the UK. And I think this one is no surprise for anybody who pays attention to bad idea of having somebody to head Islamophobia advising for your country. So the UK decided to put an Islamophobia advisor in there, and this is the 10th guy they put in, and he got fired because he's saying he wants to cancel blasphemous films. So things that Islam disagrees with, he wants to cancel the film. This is about a film called an imam who endorsed a campaign for cinemas to cancel a blasphemous film about the Prophet Muhammad's daughter has been dismissed as the government's anti-Islamophobia advisor. This is Kari Asim, who was told Saturday evening that he had been dismissed from his official role as independent advisor on Islamophobia and deputy chairman of the Anti-Muslim Hatred Working Group. The film was called, I just got to get down here. It's, they're trying to boycott, I look at the name of the film and I thought it was about a Catholic woman And I thought it was maybe against Mary. No, it's the film is called The Lady of Heaven. Yeah. So he's got a lot of Muslims upset, and they're actually going and they're making big protests and stuff in the UK against this film, all because one guy said something. The Lady of Heaven. Yeah, but we know who the Queen of Heaven is too, yes. I mean, I sit there and I kind of laugh at it. It was Lady of Heaven. And it's kind of like, wait a minute. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, wait a minute. I just like, okay. The next one I have is kind of interesting. Let's get this. And I'm going to skip. I want to come back to it. Okay. This one's from Italy. And 14 arrested in anti-terror raid on Pakistani cell in Italy. I mean, 14, this was this past Tuesday, 14 were arrested in an anti-terror raid in a Pakistani cell operating in Italy and other European countries. Cell was allegedly linked to a wider network called the Gabar Group. And, you know, some of these people, one of these guys is 27 years old, Zahir Hassan Mahmood, Pakistani man who attacked the former offices of the satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo in 2020. So yeah. They're still alive and they're still kicking and they're still active.
They are waiting for the perfect time to do the final jihad. Have you seen the movie Braveheart?
Yes.
In the movie, when Mel Gibson was standing with all his army and they stand in line and he hears the word, wait, and I see the enemy coming, see, wait. And at the purpose of it, now! And that's when strike. And that's how they were able to have victory at that. But there is no such a thing as we don't have enough Muslims in America or we don't have enough Muslims in Europe to destroy Europe and America at any time. There are plenty of them. And we think we can take it peaceably or not, we're going to take it by jihad. Literally, that is exactly what's coming to Europe and America. And we're not weak, that's wrong. We got the weakest prime minister and president of the West has ever happened before. If you look at all of them, they've got them Canada, here in America, in many of the European countries, with a bunch of liberals are exerting in control, the control freak of the West, to give it to the Muslims, and that's where Muslims are starting up. And the problem is, even if they have done, if they have not done anything, to truly show the real color of Islam, they're growing in number in Canada and America. Every day there are more Muslims coming to America. Way, way higher numbers than what he used to be in the days of Obama. And in the days of Obama, was very, way, way, way higher than in the days of Clinton. So think about it. They're gaining, they're winning without even one jihad attack. Why? Because more Muslims move into the West, and God help us when they do their final attack.
And we were just talking a little bit before, they've learned from Sun Tzu, trying to take over a country without even lifting a finger of attack. So this is where it gets scary. These next few articles center about something that's happened this past week in India. Now, I'll throw this link in the chat rooms. There's another article that actually follows. So sometimes you want to get both sides. So that's the best way to get something. So this first one, it's from Op India. It says, NDTV's Vishnu Sam admits that the most terrorists are from Islam, but says the truth must not be spoken to preserve Muslim sentiment. So, okay. NDTV's Vishnu Sam admits that most terrorists are from Islam, but says the truth must not be spoken. Yeah, so, I mean, so they're actually having problems with this. So this guy came out and he actually talked about it. He said, here's what he said. word for word. He alleged 95% of the declared terrorists are from Islam, and 95% of terrorist organizations are from Islam. And he cited the UN, United Nations data to bolster his claims. And then he said, so do we therefore typecast everybody who are Muslims, billions that exist around the world, and the end he defended. So it is not the BJP, what he's talking about, the party within India that is creating the facts. And so there's been a problem with, you know, the fact that this was said. Now, this next article, I saw the two together, and I'm like, you can't tell one without sharing the other. Oh, my gosh. I mean, so I like to read, and that's me. Not everybody likes is as crazy as me about reading, and I'm just waiting for – I have a pop-up that's blocking me. I'm just trying to get this thing out of my sight. And there we go. Okay, it went out of my way. Now I can share. Okay, so this one is rather weird. It kind of explains what this is all about. So this article is from India again. It says, why Netherlands' leading critic of Islam, Geert Wilders, is speaking out for Nupur Sharma. And Geert Wilders, they say, the Dutch Donald Trump, who founded Anti-Immigration Party for Freedom, which was – he did this way before Trump came on the scene, so I don't know why they're calling him a Dutch Donald Trump. Maybe they just – I don't know. He was smarter than – he was on target before Trump even became – yeah. So they suspended a political leader, Nupur Sharma, at the center of a, quote, blasphemy controversy. This is where that guy was talking on NDTV. That has caused some unease in India's diplomatic relationships across West Asia as being publicly shunned by her party. However, she has found a spokesperson, one of Europe's polarizing political figures. Geert Wilders, a Dutch politician, who has long advocated a ban on the Quran. Yeah, and this is where I want people to read it to see how ridiculous it is. And you say the same thing. Yeah. And action to limit Muslim. Now, here's what I would do. Limit Muslim immigration has made multiple appearances in India's media in Sharma's support. He's standing up for somebody who's saying the same thing, and you know, and I agree with him 100%. Standing up for her. My biggest thing is, I want people to read it though. I think it's just ridiculous.
Let me give you my nickel worth of words, or maybe a dime, two nickels. If you're a Muslim believer, you're 100% a terrorist. If you're a hypocrite, that means you're not a Muslim believer, then you are not in support of the jihad of Allah and the jihad of Muhammad. This is reality. I mean, how do I know a Muslim believer from a non-Muslim believer? How do I know the difference between a Muslim believer and a hypocrite? Allah told us in the Quran. By that you may know that they are hypocrites. How? If you ask them to come and engage in a war of Allah, and engage in a war for the sake of Allah, they will not. If you ask them to contribute, they will not. Quran chapter 3 and verse 166. Do you have a Quran with you, brother?
Yes, I do.
And believers, those who are Muslims are committed to this one, to the word of Allah, to the command of Muhammad, which means they are very savage. As Muhammad was, as Allah wanted every Muslim believer to be. So, you can tell me, are you a hypocrite or are you a Muslim?
You said 367?
367.
Okay. All right, 3167. And that he might know the hypocrites, and it was said to them, come, engage in war for the sake of Allah or contribute. They said, if we knew how to engage in war, we would have followed you. They are closer on that day to infidelity than to faith. They say with their mouths what is not in their hearts, and Allah knows best what they hide.
We're Muslims. We're Muslims. We're submissive. Come fight with us. No, thank you. Give us money to support the death. No, thank you. You know what Allah said about these people? What's the origin of the man versus the man? This is two verses, go like honey
170, 77? 973. OU Prophet performed jihad. Okay. Okay. OU Prophet performed jihad against the infidels and the hypocrites, and be harsh with them, and their abode will be hell, and evil is the destination. They swear by Allah they did not say, and indeed they said the. I'm sorry, I went into 74. All right.
When you see ISIS or these Muslims that have been going to war and fight even Muslims and kill even Muslims, the hypocrites, all the West, see, look, they're not good Muslims, they're killing Muslims. No, you idiot, they're good Muslims. ISIS wrecked Islam by crossing every sea and bombing every eye because they're killing even the hypocrites among the Muslims. Why? Because Allah in Quran 9:33 ordered Muhammad and Muslim believers to wipe them out. That's how this country will be destroyed. Good Muslims, when you say good Muslims, the modern Muslims, will not exist. There will people existing because the Muslims will kill them as much as you kill me. That's the reality of what Islam is all about. So, no such a thing as a good Muslim, no such a thing as a loving Muslim or a peaceful Muslim. If you're a Muslim, you're 100% Turk. So I can say, all Muslim believers are Turks, but not all Turks are Muslim, because obviously we know some backward people, every other believer out there, who will kill and do the job. But if you're a Muslim believer, for sure you're a terrorist. Amen?
Well, and you know, the thing is that Allah is the founder of terrorism. It says it right in the Quran.
It is the same God. It is the same thing. He can do it through that shooting in the school, through demonic spirit on that guy. He can do it through ISIS. He can do it through agnostic. For sure he goes through the Muslims. They have a book for it. He can do it through a husband to his wife. Or a wife or a husband, I mean, Cain killed his own brother Abel. Why? Because the devil was there. So from the beginning, Satan comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. He does it in any shape or way or form because all religion leads to hell. Except Christianity is not a religion. It is a way of life where we know that we will go out of here and from our flesh to be in eternity with the Lord in heaven. Obviously, you repent of your sin, confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and live right before Him. I'm not saying you can be perfect because nobody's perfect. That's why Jesus died on the cross to satisfy our fallen creature, to pay for our sin, and set us free from our evil.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have just this is Christian persecution from Nigeria. This is from the 7th. It came out on International Christian Concern. Last Monday, authorities reported that over 40 former Boko Haram members had taken and completed a de-radicalization professional training course. And they supposedly have now decided to become plumbers, carpentry, and whatever, you know. And in every single case that they put these up, they've all gone back and commit, you know, every single place in the world that has put these anti-terrorism programs in, they fail.
Joe O. Biden, when he starts bringing Muslims from Somalia and from Nigeria, he will make sure that they are not from Al-Shabaab or Boko Haram, or maybe he will not bat them at all. He just let them come out and you may know what the condition of this world.
Yeah. And then there was one article, I think, I'm not sure if I caught this last week. There was a church attack in Nigeria where they killed dozens of Nigerian Catholics on Pentecost Sunday. And it's just sickening.
The persecution of the Christian by the hand of the Muslims is all over the world.
Yes.
So we will talk about it every Saturday for 2 hours, 1 month, every week.
No, you're right.
Islam, the religion of truth, is a great website that you can go to it and you see what in the world the Muslims are doing and why the people in the world are so dumb, ignoring all these sects. It's like everywhere, you can see it everywhere in the Muslim world. Muslims are committing the evil act, the savage act, which Allah targets in the Quran and Muhammad shows them in his sunnah and he says it. And here we are in America pretending there's nothing wrong with Islam or Muslims, bring more into America. We have to all. Every 1,000, every 10,000 Muslims come to America, the Democrat voters. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
What else do you have?
I have one last one from Indonesia. Let me just pull this one up. And all right, and this one is police arrest leaders of a caliphate. This is from Persecution International Christian Concern. Came out June 8th. Police in Indonesia have arrested the leaders of an Islamic extremist group and charged them with treason. Now, that to me is incredibly intelligent. Not with terrorism. They charged them with treason. And Indonesia, in general, is an Islamic country. So they got it right. Four senior leaders of the group, Jamaah Khalifut Malimin, were arrested on June 6th for their participation in an organizing rally. This is an offshoot of Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, an extremist. I still have problems with calling this extremist. That was banned in 2017. More than 40 motorcycles took part in this rally. Yeah. In 2017, and they killed numerous people. And yeah.
Indonesia, which is coming for a second year here in America, if you continue to be ignorant power, that's very, very dangerous power. Once again, my favorite verse, you look at my website, it's on the fifth page. My people are destroyed for lack of time. So therefore, as if it was just written for us, America will be destroyed by the socialist, communist, liberal, Democrat, and the Muslims. So one thing, big team, the big team. So Satan's team. They're anti-Christ, they're anti-Christianity, they're anti-Bible, they're anti-Constitution, they're anti-freedom, they are anti-Second Amendment, I mean, they're anti-everything this country stands for. And the funny thing is, they are running the show as if they are the right one and every one of us is the wrong one. Anything else?
My biggest thing that I think for today about America is they're starting this January 6th committee. And we've had Liz Cheney. I don't know how she qualifies as a Republican, but yeah, I think she's going to be voted out of office in November from what I hear. Yeah. I think that's the only way she can actually run after she loses. And she got caught lying on. So here's something to think. Now, if a somebody who is in Congress lies before Congress, purposely deceives them and is lying about another member of Congress, which is what Representative Scott Perry is accusing her of. And he's claiming that when she testified on June 9th, and when she was speaking before the House, that's testifying, she said that Scott Perry sought a presidential pardon on January 6th. So he's like, sorry, you're lying. So my thoughts are, if you're going to lie in Congress, you should pay that penalty of perjury. I don't care if you're a congresswoman or congressman or a senator. You pay that penalty.
Democrat, he knows you can get away with the law. I mean, this is part of let's be realistic.
Yep.
Can Biden be in jail or prison for all the things which he did wrong in this country? Of course not. Can Hunter Biden be found guilty and put in jail or prison a day or an hour or even a minute? Who will be even arrested? Can Han Omar this lady, we cannot believe she needs to spend 18 years in prison for the crime which she committed. Can she lose her job? Forget about putting her in prison. Just make her pay for her crime by losing her job. No, she's going to continue to be the congresswoman and be, who knows? Maybe she'll be a senator. Maybe she'll be a governor. Who knows? These people, when they commit crime on the fall, they get rewarded. They get in a higher position. And when they leave, they're offered to go work for CNN or CBS or MSNBC and make 3-4 times more money. So it's not like a loss. You cannot lose when you're a liberal in this country, no matter what you do. No matter what you do.
I mean, a great example of that this week, they had He had a woman who had, when the BLM attacks were going on, she firebombed a police car. And I think she's getting 3 years, maybe, for attacking a police car with a fire, you know, with a Molotov cocktail. And she bragged about it.
Nancy Pelosi's husband, do you think he will be arrested? I mean, will he be taken for court and like everybody else who was drunk under the influence? And we're going to talk so much. I love what J.C. Walker, or whatever you call him, he actually said until Monday, if they will not come up with him with a good information, legal information, he will do something. I don't know what he's going to do. But I guarantee you there was so much corrupt there. There's a rumor that there was a party, a wild party. That's where he got drunk. Who can punish these people who are in power? They're above the law. And I love it when a Republican or a conservative make any tiny little bit of fish about him, which could be a rumor, could be lies, many of them were lies or false. Nobody above the law. But Nancy Pelosi above the law. Obama is above the law. Obama is above the law. Eric Holder is above the law. And Ilhan Omar is above the law. Rashida is above the law. All these macro demons are above the law because they have no law. They are a lawless people who are destroying the Constitution of America. The reason this country will be destroyed because we're going to hit our Constitution with what? Somehow, slowly, one step at a time, as they boil the frog to death, they will do that because they are lawless people. We don't like them. They like our Constitution. That's exactly why they're there in their offices. So I don't want to talk about Obama. All of these are negative, but that's the reality. Crime committed by conservatives must be punished for all what he can put in, whatever he can. Democrats commit crime, or even the Black Lives Matter commit crime. It was very peaceful, and there was so what few buildings were burned, so what billions of dollars, so what few people got killed. No big deal. But walking inside the Capitol, open the door, as my dear friend Victoria did, she said, you saw them. They opened the door for us. And when I went there, the cop said, come on in. And I went in. When she said that to me when I was in Minnesota last time, I could not believe it. I said, no, she's dead, Rick. I should know last time, the time before. She's dead, Rick. But guess what? Now we got enough evidence, enough people. They actually, the police opened the door for the house and come on in. Are you tricking me? Come on in so you can put me in jail after a while and go all this propaganda, hard work, drama you're doing? I'm sorry, man. This is sick. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll move on with our study, part two of the big study we have for you. It's about the miraculous mistake. It is miraculous to see Allah strong, at least most of the scholars have made it. A quick break, I will be right back.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translator who translated the Quran to the English language hides many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English wall. Then we spent several years to produce an accurate, modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then began production and have now finished
our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran. In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues. It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love. For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us on this beautiful Saturday night, June the 11th of 2022. I wish it is January, but to be honest with you, I cannot wait for next January. I noticed in the beginning of this commercial about the fall, we said Muhammad claimed that the only miracle, and Muslims also, those who are sincere by themselves, believe that the Quran is the only miracle. The Quran is the only miracle which Muhammad has, which Muslim has, to prove to us that Islam is real. Follow me? And what is this study? It is the miraculous mistake of Muhammad. Where in the Quran? That is not a miracle.
I'm still trying to find anything clear in the Quran.
Because there's nothing clear about the Quran, and there's nothing you can understand. But what we're going to share here today, hopefully this will help the people to understand that it's not clear, and it will never be clear. We started our program last week, and I hope and I pray you guys go back and watch. If you have not seen part one, please watch part one so you can understand part three and four. This is part two. I'm going to repeat that every time we talk about the stages of embryology. The stages of the belly. I love it how Muslim will tell me, you know, there's no way Jack sent me a text message. Why? What's so special about next January that you cannot win? Oh, everyone will take over both houses. That is exactly what I mean. I'm sorry, I made a statement and I didn't finish it. But so my hope and my desire sometime between here and next January, we can stop the bleeding. There's a lot of blood is coming out of this country. I'm so worried that, you know, some people get an accident and start bleeding, and the hemorrhage is so big, and then the doctor say, sorry, we could not save his life or her life because they bled so much, and we could not rush that they saved their life. That's what I fear about America. That's what I'm afraid about America. Between here and November, or next January, if we bled too much, that even if we remove all the Democrats from the White House, and remove all Biden, remove from the House and the Senate, and if we remove Biden and we vote, then maybe Trump. Trump would say, I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's too big. That's what I'm afraid of. But I'm hoping and praying that somehow they will not literally drain this country. You know, drown the baby so nobody can save. Because they still have 5 months to do more damage to America than what they already have done. What's so amazing, Brother Paul? The liberals could not see anything wrong yet. Did they actually get on the right track? Everything is great. Listen to them. If you're a stranger, you know nothing about politics. and you listen to CNN and CBS and MSNBC and all the liberals, including Ms. Cheney and that idiot who was there, if you listen to all those people, you think America is doing great. I mean, the economy up to the roof. We got gas so cheap, you buy a gallon, get 2 gallons for free, and milk is every, the shop is carrying so much food, and everything is cheap. If you know nothing about America and you just listen to the liberal, you say, why in the world we conservatives? They're going to ruin what the Democrats are doing. But if you have some logic and common sense, you see that they're draining the economy, they're destroying the country, they are literally putting holes in the ship to sink it. That's what I believe is happening. So, now back to our Mareka Singh, part of our program, our first program. Please go watch the book. And here's part two, which is stage one. Stage one of this great miracle of Muhammad in the Quran. Allah in the Quran, Muhammad in the Hadith. And obviously, we're going to see the Muslims are. Stage one. Everybody knows stage one. I mean, for heaven's sake, we're here. Brother Paul, are you here?
I'm here.
That means stage one is true.
Well, and that's, you know, when the Muslim Brotherhood came here to America, they said stage one is complete. We're here.
Of the greatest miracle of the first stage of embryology, because if it was not for us here, we could not have the baby inside our wives or our lady or our mother womb. Okay, whoever making some other female friend. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. This is Quran chapter 23 and verse 12. Quran chapter 23 and verse 12. Here's what Allah says.
And you from an extract of my
is the miracle in that verse. I mean, if I open the Bible, there's a waterfall, open the Bible. Genesis, chapter 1 and Genesis, chapter 2. Do I need the creation of Adam and Eve there? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do I need a new book? It's called the Generous Quran to explain to me that great miracle. The Muslims believe every line, every verse in the Quran is a miracle. Every word in the Quran is a miracle.
Well, we have certain problems if we're going to say that it's a miracle because it's missing too much information. Yeah. It's not even close to a miracle. It's a copy. It's a cheap copy.
You know why? Because that information is not from the Quran. But every Kassir will give it to you. Somebody will give it to you. You know from where?
No. Yeah, that's exactly right. He's allowed to read, but nobody else should be.
I love the conversation where he said, we will be using the Bible as a dessert. What's the big deal? The big deal is the Quran. And because he said, actually, we don't need the Bible, but we're going to use some of the things of the Bible if we need to add a little bit of sweetness to the Quran. If it agrees with the Quran. If it is only you in the Quran, we reject. We obviously were rejected. Wow. Who's saying that? The great Muslim scholar. You read about that at the beginning of my volume one of Exposing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Terror. Before we get to creation, it's an introduction to what Ibn Kathir is saying. Excuse me, Ibn Kathir, you're a stupid liar. You could not understand a verse in the Quran without reading the Bible. And how you interpret the Bible, the Quran? By reading the Bible and filling the question. Let me ask a question. What is the name of Adam's wife?
It's not in the Quran.
We have no clue. How in the world did you call her Eve?
Do you think he read Genesis?
He read it or he depends on others like Al-Tabari, which is a great scholar. Al-Tabari is number one. Then you come up with Al-Tabari and Jalan, because they take it from Al-Tabari. Don't copy from one another. Yeah. Okay. How about the sons of Adam? And he would say, oh, the sons of Adam, Cain and Abel. Excuse me. Where do you come up with these two names? Sons of the Quran. For everything, if you don't know the name of the character of the story of the Quran, how in the world are you going to fill in the information? Now, go back to the question here. Indeed, we created the human form and the extract of the Quran. What is an extract of Quran? Do you know what that means?
I mean, mud is mud. I'm kind of lost with mud. I don't know how else you call it, but an extract of mud. I mean, a little bit.
Listen carefully. How Allah fulfills or put stage one into action. Here we go. Listen. What is fakhar? Part of clay. Not Arabic word or silk word. So Allah in Quran chapter 55 verse 14 says He created Adam, He created the human Adam and his wife Eve somehow from fakhar.
So what was that, mud or clay? I mean, those are two different things.
Oh, now you're talking about this contradiction. A shot of mud is not for heart.
I think potters will use mud. I mean, they'll use clay and water, and for a brief time it's called mud, but I don't think it still works without defining the clay.
The same material.
Yeah.
Wait, this is Quran chapter 15, verse 20.
Oh, definitely not the same.
Wow. Is it for hard? Extracted mud? Dry mud from black molded mud?
This is not the
same.
I'm totally confused because this says it's definitely not clay. I'm totally confused. That's what the... This is confusing. Black molded mud. I have no clue what that is. You know, black molded mud, you know what I think of? I think of the silt that comes out from the river and it gets dropped on the field. That's the closest thing. And the best kind of dirt you find is black because that is fertile soil. All right, so you're talking about good dirt. You're not talking about clay.
Come on, man. Come on, brother. Don't make a big deal about this.
I don't think he read Genesis.
What does the word create mean for the fallen man? No,
out of nothing. Out of nothing.
So how can Allah create Adam out of mud? Mud is something?
When we talk about I don't think he gets it. I just don't think he gets it.
Muhammad does not understand what the word create means. Yakhluq means nothing to Muhammad. Yakhluq means nothing to Jibreel. Yakhluq means nothing to Allah because they have no clue what they're talking about. We made man out of mud. But not create man out of mud. Because to create is to make something out of nothing. God created heaven and earth. And by supposing all about everything came to exist. But when he made Adam, he made him out of that which he created.
Yeah, and in Genesis 2:7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man." It doesn't say he created him. It says form.
I can make the computer. I can form the computer. I'm going to get plastic. I'm going to get silver. I'm going to get different chips and different this. And put it, I got some of my friends who can put a beautiful desktop computer for half of the price you buy from Best Buy. And they put it together, pieces, and it's wonderful. All what you wish to have, how fast, how slow, how much room, how much memory, how much. They can put it together. But I don't say, oh, my body, Johnny, created a computer. You don't create a computer. You know why? Because you already got all the parts from somebody else who made it. And by the way, those who made this part, they actually made it, they're not created. Why? Because you use other material. As I said last week, I repeat again, you create something, that means you start with nothing. And then you make it. You create it from nothing. So, Adam does not know what create is. Muhammad does not know what it is. Allah does not know what it is. He's a Muslim scholar. And they're scholars. And they are Muslim scholars. You have to understand the word. Muslim scholars, which means Muslim dhammas. Dr. McKee told me, dhammas is not a word. I said, yes, it is. He said, no. I said, look in my book. It's written there. So, if you don't have it in your dictionary, ladies and gentlemen, it was all mean, it offends so, and makes the word dumber, put the word dumber, and says, that is Muslim scholar. And then, this is made by Usama Kidda. So give me credit for it, okay? I'm going to take credit for that invented word, okay? I think it's only a word in my life. 5, 6, 7, 11. All right? You want to say something?
No, that just, I think it just disappeared what you just had up.
I got it up for you.
Okay.
5, 6, 7, 11. Oh, it's a sticky mud.
Okay, wait. We had black mud, we had clay, we've had mud. Does Allah not know what he said before?
No. Muhammad make up these verses, or whoever helped him to make up these verses, and he, when you write a story in 23 years out of your imagination, there's no inspiration. There's no revealed word of God to you to write it down. Of course you're going to forget. If you want to make them up a lie, are you going to remember it in 23 years as you continue to repeat the lie? I believe he believed in Muhammad, the Prophet. Muhammad was so smart man that he refused for the Muslims to put his Quran in a written form. The opposite, by the way, of the story is the Muslims in the West. They teach the dumb Americans, the stupid Americans. They say, oh, Muhammad, he asked his followers to collect the Quran and to put it in a book form, and they put it in the perfect order which he told them. And by the way, he asked one morning there of the Quran, no corruption, no change ever for the last 1400 years. Have you ever heard that before?
I've heard it, and then I've actually seen what they call a chronological Quran, and it still makes me laugh.
Well, you cannot put the Quran in a chronological Quran. The verse is next year, verse is the name. What are you going to do? Take the verse out of
it. Yes, that's what I'm getting. Yeah, that's why it made me laugh.
And I love it. I'm a scholar. This is the first chapter Muhammad received. A little bit later, this is the first chapter Muhammad received. A little bit later, this is the first chapter. How many first chapters he received? We can have 10 first chapters he received. That's how many. But the miracle of the Quran, as we've seen so far, in the stages of the morality, is the creation of Adam. We do not know where Adam was made of. Do you know?
Not from this. But then if you're lying and you can't remember, this is why you have to keep coming up with more lies if you can't remember what you said.
That's what's going to happen. When people lie and they get caught, they cover the lie with another lie, and then they cover the lie with another lie. Muhammad does not want his book to be written. And I like what the Sabbath said. How can we do? First of all Omar was asking Abu Bakr to put the Quran in book form. And Abu Bakr said, how can we do something the Apostle Allah never asked us to do? Muhammad never asked anything. I mean, in his last 10 years, he's in control, he's in power, he has thousands and thousands of followers. Why don't, you know, four or five guys to collect the Quran and put it in a book while he's still alive? He chooses not to because he does not want to. Matter of fact, even in his day, we know that some Muslim went before Muhammad with argument about the verse of the Quran. Remember, a man was reciting the Quran in the presence of Omar, and the man was so happy to enjoy his voice. And the poetry of the Quran, shalalama tarabatitu, tarabasasala taramatu. I'm not making Arabic now. I'm just making it up music, okay? On. And Allah said, whoa, time out. He said, you're reading the wrong Quran. What do you mean I'm reading the Quran? He said, it's not la 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 la. No, it is la lula, pa pa pa, la 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 la. He's fighting him. The man said, wait a minute, Omar. I just read the Quran before the Apostle of Allah. He never corrected me. Who do you think you are to correct me? He went to Muhammad. Okay. He's still alive. Muhammad's still alive. What is the problem, gentlemen? He reads the Quran wrong. No, Abbas of Allah, I read it. He said, okay, read again. La 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 la. Omar says, he's right. Omar says, he's right. He said, yes. He said, why do you think it's not apostle Allah? I thought it is not the bum 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 bee. He said, and you are right too. You're both right. As long as you don't change a verse from a curse or a blessing or a blessing or a curse.
No consistency, even from his day. Yes.
He said, he is right, and he is right. They're both right, they cannot be both right. Logic. So in Muhammad's day, there were two different readings of the Quran. Whoa, we're not finished yet. Then Muhammad said, two angels came to him and said, recite the Quran. He did. Recite another form, he did. Recite another form, he did. Seven times, Quran, for heaven's sake. How do I expect Muslims to believe, you expect me to believe, that Muslim and Muhammad, they memorize the Quran and sit in different Qurans? Muhammad said, each one of these Quran is a blessing. Each reading of these different words of the Quran, don't listen to the Muslim words and a different accent like what? The Quran was written in the garden of in heaven. What accent? Are you kidding me? Why Muhammad, why Omar was about to kill this man for reading the wrong Quran in a different accent? All of you, it's the same. Matter of fact, later a smart man made this Quran. That's what he's teaching. I don't believe in that. But I'm teaching because that's what I want to be. And he burned all other Quran. Why in the world you burn the ahruf of the Quran? The different accents, I will hold tight to my chest. These are the words Allah gave to Muhammad and David. They're blessings. It's a blessing. Why are you destroying it? Why are you burning? By the way, nobody said Osman is an infidel, and we have to kill him for burning the original.
That's... You know, when I first heard that, I just sat there and laughed. Because here they were, when I first learned that, they were trying to set people on fire for burning the Quran.
Not burning the Quran, burning a copy of the English Quran.
Yes.
It's not even Quran. But when Osman ibn Affan burned the original copies, all these copies came out. And why is it that? Because there was a huge cries among Muslim believers. Which one of them has a bit of Quran? Of different dialects, and we all should believe it to be a wonderful blessing as long as you don't change a verse from a blessing to a curse, from a curse to a blessing. Do you really think, my dear Muslim friend, do you think we're really that stupid? Do you really? If you are that stupid, do you think we're stupid as you are stupid? I'm sorry. Now, which verse of these verses is it? Was it sticky month? Or was it a month? Or was it dry mud from black molded mud? Or was it fahar, clay like the fahar? Or was it from choose one.
Well, it wasn't creation because it wasn't ex nihilo. It wasn't without. It wasn't from nothing. So I got that one thing. Yes.
If Muslims believe, that stage, these verses, contradictory verses, it's talking about the creation of Adam, and it is a miracle. We can stop the program right now. We can change the subject and talk about something else. Because that is stupidity. Wrong doctrine, wrong material, and Allah knows better. There's no miracle. You want to know why? First of all, Muhammad is copying that which is written in the Bible. It's very simple. And the more you go about the creation of Adam and Eve and the story of the sons of Adam. Of course, Adam is what? We don't know who. As a matter of fact, Adam and his husband. Adam and his husband. Because Muhammad does not know the word Zawjati. Zawjati means his wife. Because Adam and him, Zawjati in Arabic means his husband.
Oh.
So somehow there is a mistake in the Quran. Somebody messed it up. Or maybe My Arabic is not good, and the Quran has the perfect Arabic. Okay? My Arabic is not good. The dictionary Arabic is not good. I can go on Google Translate right now, and I put Zawjah, and it's a husband. But somehow, trust me, within the next year or two, the Muslim who are in charge of Google Translate, they're going to fix it in the Quran and make Zawjah white. Somehow, they're going to change it. So husband to wife has been already doing lots of playing on that program, which used to be good. You support Allahu Akbar. Allah is bigger. Now you put Allahu Akbar, it says God is great. What happened to Google Translate? Oh, then think about Allah and put Paul. Paul Akbar. Guess what? In Arabic. In English, Paul bigger. Take Paul out and put Allah. He's great. I understand how this works, but that's okay. That's okay. Now, let's talk about the true place where maybe Adam heard the story, and maybe Adam copied. Remember we talked about miracle before we were born.
So who's copying the story you're talking about? Or are you talking about Muhammad hearing the story?
What?
Who are you saying heard the story?
Muhammad.
Okay.
And he's got what is the Quran? He heard it from the Jew, heard it from the Christian, of course. And so maybe so many of the story Muhammad wrote of the Quran did not even come from the Bible. It come from the made-up stories by the Jewish people, which most of it does not agree with that which is written in the Bible. You follow me?
You know, I often wondered if, you know, when you're saying that is if they would make up stories when he was nearby to see if they would just repeat them rather than knowing the Torah. Yes.
Where Muhammad wrote the information, and I'll show you exactly what would come from the Talmud, that come from the Israelite. When the Israelite is the middle story, the Torah, the spoken Torah, not the written Torah. Have you ever played the game Paul of whispering in somebody's ear?
Yes.
So I will whisper in your ear, and you whisper to your son's ear, and he whispers to his mama's ear, and she whispers to his other friend's ear, and go all the way until it becomes my wife.
We call that game telephone.
Whatever the game is. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the last person heard it was speaking out loud. And we all laugh because the first word or the first sentence have nothing to do with the last sentence. You know that. What happened in the Torah, the spoken Torah, not the written Torah, not the first five books of the Bible, but the spoken Torah. People will say to their children, yeah, a little bit, just take away from it, yeah, a little bit, take away. And within, you know, 300-400 years, trust me, the story you hear about Moses has nothing to do with the Moses of the Bible. And the story you hear about Adam has nothing to do with the story of Adam. Why? Because when you say things and people memorize it the best they can and keep saying it to their children and the children say it to the grandchildren, somehow the story slowly starts changing. The end with Adam being 60 yards tall. That is what I mean. Even though Adam was literally 6 feet. So when you get the information Muhammad put in the Quran, it's not because it's a revelation, it's not because it's a miracle. And because he heard it from those who heard it, the ones who heard it, and boy, oh boy. And now we get books, like the Talmud, books written by the Jewish people. And they tell you, here is what is written in our stories, and it's most part because of the whole mess about it. And when you look at what they spoke about, is that the Talmud is perfect match to that which is in the Quran. And somehow it's a miracle. Miracle, as we mentioned in our last program, go back and watch part one if you have not watched it. It is something 100% true. It is something, it's not you can observe by, you know, see it in true observation. From his ayati and from his miracle, from his signs, the Quran repeated, the rain come down, God deserves to grow, and the trees grow, and we have fruit of different things. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding? You think I'm stupid? What atheist does not believe in that? That's not a miracle. That's called copying logic in a book. Now, a miracle in the Quran is information is accurate. You come up with it. You don't copy it from another book. Even if it's true. But sadly, I'm not copying falsehood. It's put in the Quran. And Muslims hold the holy magic of Allah in the Quran, the miracle of Islam. You believe me? Let's see what the Bible says about the creation. What does the Bible say about of Adam. Here we go. Genesis 2:7.
And the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Do you read, and the Lord God created a man out of the dust of the ground, or whom?
No, and then that's it's exactly it. He says formed. He doesn't say creation.
Not create, huh?
Yeah.
And where did he make him out of? How many different materials?
Dust. I don't see anything else. Just okay. Well, just one other thing. Breath. God's breath. Well, maybe that's his spit in the mud. That's as close as I can come to.
The comedy of Allah in the Quran and the comedy of Muhammad in the Quran concerning the creation of Adam and Eve, the contradictions, you need to read chapter 1, actually, chapter 2, the story of Adam. The chapter 1 is creation in general. In my book, exposing the truth about the Quran, the revelation of error. It is revelation of error. The Quran is the book of error. You have not got my book, please download it. Matter of fact, as we always say, if you subscribe to us to support our ministry in Bethlehem, we're not asking you to do that. If you will automatically give these books as e-books sent to you by my secretary. When somebody gives donation, we appreciate you, we love you, and now help in our ministry, but we never ask for it. If you want to buy the book, go buy it. But I'm not asking you to buy it. If you don't want to buy it, you don't have to. Maybe you know better than I know, and you have enough material in your head, you don't need my book. These books are there to help you to learn. Because without these books, you don't have knowledge. And without knowledge, we, you and I, America will be destroyed. And Muslims are destroyed every day because they have lack of knowledge. So God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils. And that breath of life came to Adam and made him a living soul. Living soul. Now let's move on to stage number 2, which Dr. Keith Moore here is going to call stage 1. So actually it is stage 2, because he did not talk about Quran chapter 23, verse 12. Let's move on to the stages of the embryo. Now, this guy here is so genius that he does not know what he's talking about. Can you hear me, Bob?
Yes.
He is so genius that he does not know what he's talking about. And Muslims are using him as a useful idiot. And as I said in my last program, I don't know how much money they give. If I would do his job, I would ask for maybe $100 million, $200 million.
If you're listening on BTR, you want to go to YouTube so you can hear the link. You can hear Usama. We have to upload this later.
And Muslim will continue to use him because of where he's at. The top of umbrellas. I mean, it's like God up in heaven, and then you have Keith Moore. Professor Keith Moore, the prophet of God. And if Professor Keith Moore is praising Allah, and praising Muhammad, and praising the miraculous teaching of the Quran, 1400 years ago, is what the truth? What's the truth, Brother Paul? Anything you
want to
say?
I keep listening to these miraculous mistakes, and it just, we should be laughing. How many mistakes can this guy get away with? Yes.
I met many of our dear brothers and sisters who were Muslim and became a Christian from America, not Muslim. Became Muslim, he came back to Christianity. Or Christian, my name, I don't believe a Christian believer will leave Christianity to become a Muslim. That means we lost.
Yes.
So they were a good Baptist, good Catholic, good Presbyterian, knew nothing about the Bible, knew nothing about Jesus. Fall in love with a Muslim guy, fall in love with a Muslim lady. She told him, honey, we cannot get married. My mama will not be happy. Just say the Shahada, you know. I don't care. You're Christian, you're Muslim. And honey, just say the Shahada because my mama doesn't want me to marry a woman who's not a Muslim. And it's just the word you say, and they became Muslim. But all these became Muslim because of the miracle of Dr. Keith Moore, which he approved. the Muhammad, which he used to prove that Muhammad is a prophet from God. There's no way.
And this guy should have had his medical license revoked.
Embryos in 23 numbered states based on their differences in appearance. The Carnegie system of classification was used around the world until the 1970s, but a more refined system was proposed by Dr. Ronan Arai of the Carnegie Institute of Embryology, now in San Diego, California. Hence, the study of the Gran in the last 4 years have revealed the system for classifying human embryos that is amazing since it was recorded in the 7th century AD. Although Aristotle, the founder of the science of embryology, realized that chick embryos developed in stages, but his studies of Kenzie, the 4th century BC, did not give any details about these stages. As far as it is known from the history of embryology, little was known about the staging and classification human embryos until the 20th century. For this reason, descriptions of human embryos and brand cannot be based on scientific knowledge of the 7th century. The only reasonable conclusion these descriptions were revealed to Muhammad himself, but not have known such details, but he was an illiterate man, that he no scientific training.
Allah Akbar! MashaAllah! MashaAllah! Allah Akbar!
This guy is so messed up.
You know what BS is?
Yes.
That's what you heard.
Yes.
Okay. First you talk about that doctor and that professor, 23 stages and this and that, and but the details of the Quran is a miracle. It's a miracle that Muhammad could not read and write. Why Muslims always say Muhammad could read and write?
I think they say he could read that he could read and write because they don't want people to say he's ignorant.
So there's a word in the Quran, the word is ummi. The word ummi in the Arabic language has two meanings. Ummi, the one who can both read and write, illiterate. Or ummi, which means Gentile.
Oh.
Okay. In my translation of the Quran, I translated that word accurate, which means Gentile. The Apostle Paul is known to be the prophet of the Gentiles. Are you trying to tell me that the Apostle Paul could not read and could not write?
Interesting.
Same word. A Rasul and Ummi. Paul called it a Rasul lil Umam. He is an Ummi prophet. He was sent to the Umam. Oh, Gentiles. No, you have to understand, Paul was, I believe, the most educated man of all those who came in the Bible. Solomon was wisdom because God gave him a gift of wisdom, which that's all understanding. After Solomon, I put Paul. Am I right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we know who taught. We even know who taught Paul. So, I mean, that tells you the kind of, in fact, this, his
scholar. You're talking about the man was educated by the best of the best of the students.
Yes. And then we look at who taught the disciples. I mean, it's kind of hard to get better than to have God teach you, but yeah.
I'm talking about all our disciples were what?
They were tradesmen. They were tradesmen. I mean, you have fishermen, you have whatever else. I mean, yeah.
Even Luke, Dr. Luke, guess what? He's a disciple of Paul. Can you imagine with me? Paul is the most educated one who wrote to us the book of Acts. He is a disciple of Paul. This is reality. And Mark is a disciple of Peter. But Paul is a very big man. And the Bible is very clear that he was a Gentile prophet. When Muslims say that Muhammad was illiterate, oh, look how beautiful the Quran. Look how beautiful. There is no way that any part educated of any education can buy that beautiful book of the Quran. As a matter of fact, Allah in the Quran said in so many places, in the human and the jinn, something do not exist. What is jinn? What is the jinn? Oh, these are the creature which Allah made 2,000 years before he created Adam. There are between angels and humans, and they were created 2,000 years before Adam. Even though the Quran says that Allah created the heaven and earth and everything within them in 6 days, or 8 days, or 9 days. How in the world you put 2,000 years in 9 days? Can you help me with that, Paul?
I was just going to ask that. I mean, so what did they measure the 2,000 years by? Because if there's no sun, if there's, what do you measure it by?
Okay, according to Muhammad, Allah created the dirt. Well, first, he created the dirt on proper day, and the sun on this day, and that on that day. He literally gave us 6 days in the hadith. So literally 6 days, not period, as somebody put in some English translation of the Quran. Allah created the heavens in 6 periods. No, 6 days. Muhammad assured us Monday, Mardan, Jum'ah, the word Jum'ah, which is Friday, that is the day when Allah gathered his creation. Jama'ah means gathered. Jum'ah, it is the day of gathering. Okay? And somehow Muhammad, when he gave us the six, the seven little days, and he says about what is creating every day, he forgot to mention the creation of the heaven, which took in the Quran 2 days. That's why it says 9 days. Allah said in the Quran 6 days, another location 8 days. Muhammad said 7 days. He forgot the creation of the heaven. As 2 more days, they gave us 9 days. But no way that you can tell me that there was a jinn created 2,000 years before Adam, because it's only we only got the highest number 9 days. Nine literally days. But the jinn and the human come together. Of course, we know who's a human. It's you and I, okay? Jinn do not exist. If they come together, those who exist, the human, and those who do not exist, the jinn, they will not be able to write a chapter of that which we need to call. Wow. And since nobody of any type of any education, doctorate, master's, or whatever degree you got, of all the human and all the jinn, that is clear that they could not write a perfect form, and Muhammad was illiterate. He could not read and write. Therefore, for sure, he's a great miracle man. He is given us the miracle of miracles, the Quran. Have you read the Quran, my dear Muslim friends? Have you ever read the Quran? Without the glasses of Islam. See, the king is wearing this beautiful dress. It is so amazing. Wow, it took him years and years to make this dress. It cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Okay? As long as you have these dress in your head, okay, you will never see anything wrong with the Quran. But if you study the Quran, read the Quran with your naked eye, without the dress of his mom, you'll be that little girl who says the king is naked. Muhammad is naked. The Quran is holy. Not holy because it is to teach righteousness and teach to live in holiness, holy because it's full of holes. So, Muhammad was illiterate, Dr. Keith Moore said so. How does Dr. Keith Moore or Professor Keith Moore know anything about Muhammad? It says these Muslim doctors who brought him all the way from Canada to the Middle East to do this great conference with all these educated, you know, that I believe some of these doctors were left. The more he said about these agents of embryology, you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. But they listen to a Canadian professor who was given the script to read. Notice, he's reading. He's making mistakes in English words. Right now I'm speaking to you from my head. I never claim English as my first language. As a matter of fact, I prefer to speak to you in French than to speak to you in English. And Arabic is my first language. But he's reading English, and he's reading language in English, and he's making mistakes in the material reading. You know who wrote this material for him? The people who pay him the money. If he ever got the money, I think he's an idiot, that he most likely agreed to cooperate. Maybe give him a gift of $1,000 or $5,000 to go all the way to the Middle East to do this conference. But but he's reading the future. Watch, everybody thought he's just reading the future. He does not know a word in the other language. He does not know how to pronounce a word in the other language. You know, imagine, well, when I read the Quran in Arabic and I pronounce a word wrong, because when I read it, I don't look at the vowels from the I just read it. I mean, sometimes I say, Kharaju is Kharaja, or I read it a little bit off. If I look carefully and wear my glasses and look at the school and Dhamma and Fathan class, well, I will read it right. Okay, I just read it. And Muslim with them, hey, you're not qualified. You're not good. You cannot read it. As a matter of fact, I remember one time you sent me a video of somebody making a video about me because I misread the Quran. Remember that video?
Yes, yes.
You know how I respond to it? Your scholars are telling me that you read these words in different ways. I can read it any way I wish. Not only because the Quran, the original Quran, was written without the vowels, the original Quran is written without dots. You know, this is like a comedy. This is like a comedy. You cannot read the Quran without dots. That's why we have many Qurans today in the world. We're talking about 37 Quran Sister Khatun has 290,000 differences in words. Because the same word, which is the word faith, house, I can read it later. Between.
Oh, wow. So it totally changes. And this is the important thing. It's not a variant. It changes meaning.
Complete different word. And that's a question. If I said to you, Brother Paul, I touched your wife. I touched your neighbor. I'm just mentioning one. I touched your neighbor. I shook her hand. I touched your neighbor. Or I have sex with your neighbor. Are you the same?
Absolutely not.
Are you sure?
Oh, one could probably get your hand cut off. The other one, no.
In the Quran, one Quran said touch, another one said have sex.
And how do they equate the two?
That's how you pronounce the word. Where you put the dot? Where you put the vowel? In the word, lose is the same word as win.
Yes.
You win. Ghalabat al-Rum, ghalabat al-Rum. Ghalabat means lost, ghalabat means won. And that is the miracle of the prophecy of Muhammad in the Quran, Surah al-Rum, verse 2. Anyway, so let's go on to this more. And of course, now we know, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that Muhammad was illiterate, and he did not know how to read or write, and he just given the perfect stages. Forget about all these doctors, his more mission. Forget about his own book, which is translated to 8 languages about embryology. Muhammad gave us the perfect translation and the perfect study. The perfect stages. Forget about Aristotle and all this Roman and the Greek and all of these philosophers all over the years who studied the different stages of the chicken and the duck and the cow and the all of them are wrong. Muhammad got it right. Are you excited about learning about that sort of poem?
I'm still I'm looking for consistency. We can't find that. I'm looking for something. I would say pick up a Bible because it's not in the Quran. You gave me one of the best answers today. You said that you think that Muhammad really didn't want anybody to write down his stuff because then he could be found out to be such a liar.
Well, which is different than the effect. You know, if it's just in the head, I did not say it. Oh, you misunderstand what I said, but if it's written book.
Yes.
How in the world you tell me when Jesus said in John 3:16 for God to love the world, and I said, Jesus said for God to love the world, no, it's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. How can you, what do you mean it's not in the Bible? You may be ignorant of the Bible, but God's gifting is in the Bible. God's love the world.
Yes.
So, and think about it again. Remember the telephone game, okay? The Quran was known by hearing, by saying Bible memorization. And by the way, when you hear Moses say, everybody memorize the Quran, that's a lie. Hundreds of thousands of people memorize the Quran, that's a lie. People memorize portions of the Quran. That's why when the 1957 was collected the Quran in the days of Abu Bakr Siddiq, people come to him. I remember, there used to be blah, 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 blah. You have a second witness. Oh, yeah, my cousin, where is he coming? Oh, here his cousin came in together. And yeah, yeah, that's what Muhammad said. He writes it down. Wait a minute. As far as that, the mistake is not at all. If you memorize it all, why didn't he need a witness? And then another guy came, yeah, I remember there was a, in the top of this, there was a verse, blah, 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 blah. Okay. You have a second witness? Yeah, my uncle. What? He's fighting the battle. Okay, okay. When he comes back, we'll bring it to me. Anybody else know it? No, my uncle know it. And then you go back to weekend, I'm sorry, my uncle was killed. That's very cool. That's the beauty of the Quran. That's the beauty of the Quran. And as you keep on, people memorize it by their head. Well, guess what? We've got 37 Quran. We know of in the Arabic language with 22,900 words. Different. I'll talk about that later, another study. So maybe we can then sister I told what the name she can share this with us. Okay. Now let's move on. All right. This is stage two. In our study, stage one for Dr. Keith Moore. That is Quran chapter 23, verse 15. Quran chapter 23, verse 15. Listen carefully. Here's the word of Allah.
May have made him a Nutfah in a secure place.
We made him a Nutfah in a secure place. You know, linguistically, this is dumb. We created man from all this different material. Mark. Then we made him Nutfah. You made Adam Nutfah. Right? Listen to me. Paul.
Yes. Yes.
Then we made him, who is him? The man which Allah made from clay, for hard, sticky mud, dead black mud, hard mud, just mud, whatever. Okay. We made him enough.
What's enough to?
We made him enough. So Allah created Adam, and he made him enough. Is that what you understand from the verse?
I have no clue what a nafta is. And
nafta is what?
Oh, okay. Now I'm really confused.
Allah just said, then we made out of him nafta. We just love him, him and his wife.
Oh, so we're talking about a child. Okay, so, yeah.
By the way, I think I skipped a video. Let me want to make sure that I'm not doing something wrong here. No, actually, we're right. Okay. So I apologize about that because I want to make sure that we are in the right place because I hate
it. I mean, if it's water, what does that say about Allah's understanding? Is he thinks that a human, yeah, this is where humans are. He's saying humans are made out of water. We have a problem.
We made him enough. Adam became enough. Adam became a piece of, became the liquid which made the matter. We're going to get enough to him and get your father. I promise you, you're going to know. Let me go back again to share our video. So we are...
So we got rid of all the dirt. We got rid of all the mud.
You know what? This is nice. This is awesome. Let me show you again. Here we go. The next step, which is hide this and move on. And here's Quran chapter 86, verses 7, 5 to 7. Gushing water.
What happened to the mud? Did they wash it away?
No. He's talking about the baby now. He's
okay.
Talking about the human. The baby which came out of Adam, but if you read the Quran literally, you think Allah made Adam another. No, he made out of him another. Okay? Now, listen. When Dr. Keith Moore spoke about the subject, He read the Quran, Quran chapter 86, 5 and 7, but he did not read anything after verse 7.
Okay. I'm starting to grasp what they have a concept of, but this is really perverted. I'm sorry.
From the Quran, chapter 86, verse 5 and 7, 5 and 6, but he did not read 7. You know why?
I know why. If it's any worse than verse 6.
But let us read the found verse. Guess what it says?
Wait. Did you just say that sperm comes from breasts?
We're talking about two different waters. You're rushing me. The show is going to get two different waters. Adam from the backbone. Eve from her breast. Or some scholar, if he's not said, from the bones of her breast. Two different waters. Don't confuse yourself, okay? So now we ask the question, what does the word not for mean? Yes, we have a question earlier.
Yes.
Now, we're going to learn about not from the tongue of error. That is chapter of Luke. I'm teaching you a grammatic science, okay? Here we go, listen.
From the tongue of error, chapter of Luke. Dapha is a little water, or lots of water, but it's specifically given just little water.
You should be laughing now, Brother Paul. What is wrong with you, man?
How can little be lots? I'm just...
Oh, you got it, brother. You should not ask the question to first laugh. And then I say, okay, let's make sure that every one of our audience...
Well, I mean, I get that there's that duplicity in Islam. I mean, but to say little means lots, we have an issue.
You want to be Islamophobic. You need to stop being Islamophobic. So you don't see anything wrong. Not for it's a little water or lots of water. Matter of fact, Muhammad said, they were running out of water. There's a little water, and he used the water to do the wudu, to do the wash before the prayer, but it's not. He did that.
So.
You know what I did?
Yes.
He sent it back, and every other Muslim did the same thing with the same water.
Ugh.
Little water, they all were able to.
There'll be more water left over. Wash them back.
Ugh. Yeah. Also, Muhammad says, when you stand up before the huge ocean, he says, wow, what a love. What a huge one. That's why Muslims cannot say Muhammad is wrong. If you say Nafa is a little water, it's true. And Nafa is the ocean, it's true. Because Muhammad says Nafa is a little water, one place, and lots of water in other places. But because we're talking about in village here, we prefer to give this Nafa and the word here for little water. You follow me?
Yes.
To go to the ocean, to go catch fish, you and I in the beach of Florida, you don't gonna say, oh, it's not for you. Now we're here in our fight tonight talking about the embryology, therefore Nafa is a little water. You follow me? Don't
you? Okay.
Quran chapter 57, verses 57 and 39.
When he asked a Nafa, money emitted forth, then he was a cloth, so he was created, so he was fashioned, so he made from him the two pairs, the male and the female.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! See, Muhammad never read that in any other book in his day. Muhammad never realized that somehow a man makes love to a woman, and somehow the sperm come out of him and go inside her, and then Allah would fashion him inside the mother womb, and then he will be born, and when they were born, somehow they come as a boy, and sometimes they come as a girl. So you see, that's a miracle.
We got water, then we get blood.
What are these verses? Allah Allah is telling us something we never heard before. Somehow, the man or the woman involved was a Nusra. And then this Nusra moved out and admitted forth, and then it became a clock. We're going to talk about clock later. And then it became, it created him into, and he fashioned him, and he made him to appear. Some kind of boy? Some kind of boy or girl?
Wow. What year was that? Before he puts this in, put your questions into the chat room now. Address them to Straightway Ministry or just put them in there. I'll watch for them. So please do that. Thank you.
God bless you all. Please listen carefully for the next most important 10 minutes of every show as we continue to serve the Lord.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. I said, the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. For many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book, they're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Well, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. When you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? No, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bill and pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the